This is the Canty and Carlin Podcast.
Wiggins turns, jump hook, yes, and one. Wiggins ends up on his back. He'll get up, head to the line, and a chance for three. Curry, right corner three. It's good. Their first triple of the second half, and the Warriors now lead by 14. LA still leading the series 3-2 as we head south to Los Angeles for a sixth game on Friday night.
If we can get out to a good start, I think we'll be in great shape and give ourselves a chance to come out with a win on the road.
Oh, hit that NBA music. That's our friend and yours, Mark Kestisher, on the ESPN radio call. Right now on ESPN radio, it's Canty and Carlin, as well as on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Randy Scott. He's Mike Rothstein. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. You can join the conversation on a packed day for NBA postseason basketball. The CC call-in line, 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Of course, we are also continuing the conversation about the NFL schedule now that we have it after a wild release day. Which matchup do you have circled on your calendar? Which online release from the social media teams of the NFL teams was best in your eye, in your opinion? Following up on what Doug Brown just told us in the SportsCenter update, Andrew Wiggins, questionable with a rib cartilage fracture. Did you know you could fracture your rib cartilage? Because Andrew Wiggins does. It's the left coastal cartilage, which sounds, you know, it sounds important. That's an area of the rib cage. It's unclear whether when the injury occurred. Adrian Wojnarowski saying the belief is that he's going to try and play in Game 6 tonight. Kendra Andrews is going to join us as well in this program, but Kendra informing Woj along with other sources saying he's going to go through Wiggins' will, his pregame routine, see how the ribs feel prior to tip-off. Regardless, shooting will be a challenge. Oh, is that all, Michael? Just shooting for a guy who was instrumental in the Game 5 win for Golden State.
It seems like it might be something that's important, Randy Scott.
how big of a
being
loss?
Being able to shoot, that seems like in a game of basketball, it like, might be something that you would want to have happen. Unless you're, you know, I don't know, Manute Bol or Sean Bradley, you know, guys like that. Like if you're not 7'7", 7'6", you probably need to be able to shoot.
Yeah, where you just don't have to, like, you know, lift your arms over your head. Andrew Wiggins had 25 points, in all seriousness, in Game 5. That was his most in any game this postseason. That was actually his third highest-scoring playoff game of his career. But he more than that, he defended LeBron James on 54 half-court matchups. This is according to Second Spectrum in the ESPN Stats and Information Group. That's the most by any player against LeBron in a playoff game since he joined the Lakers in 2018-2019. LeBron still got his, but he had to work for his. And then when Anthony Davis went out after catching that elbow from Kevon Looney, Wiggins' physicality defensively, that was enough. And that was enough to clamp down on the Lakers scoring. It was enough to deliver us a Game 6. This one is in Los Angeles. We know about Golden State's road issues. All of that thrown in here, is Game 6 a must win for the Lakers, or is it just a better not lose for the Lakers, considering they could still have a Game 7?
It is a better not lose scenario. That's, to me, the better way to put it, because it's not a must win simply because you have LeBron James and you have Anthony Davis, and both of those guys have shown in the past, obviously particularly LeBron James, that in a Game 7 situation, they can carry a team, they can make this happen. They both have that level of experience. They have championship experience. So to me, it's a don't lose this game, because this is a chance, especially if Andrew Wiggins doesn't play or he's clearly going to be hampered a little bit by his coastal cartilage in his rib. If he does, in fact, go, this is your chance to kind of end it before getting into that danger zone. So to me, it's more of a better not lose because of that situation, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar, I think, in a lot of ways to what we saw last night with the Sixers and the Celtics, where it didn't feel like a must win for the Sixers. It felt like a better not lose for the Sixers because of the talent that you have. But if you're the Lakers, end it tonight. You don't want to go into that Game 7 scenario, because then maybe Wiggins is a little healthier. You have a chance to end this. Do it if you were LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and company.
Lakers are trying to become the second 7 seed to reach a conference finals since seeding began in 1984. They become the second lowest seed to reach a conference finals, trailing only the 1999 Knicks. Now, the Knicks, that was the strike-shortened season, or the work stoppage, I guess. Lockout shortened season might be the best way to put it. So they were really only a handful of games back of of the one seed that year, which was Miami. So that's a little bit of a different situation. We know because we had the conversation on this show throughout the season. I mean, think, you know, Chris Carlin and Chris Canty. Canty's a Lakers fan. Like, we talked about the struggles of the Lakers. We talked about how this team was left for dead. The moves that they made at the deadline, you know, getting rid of Russell Westbrook, bringing in D'Angelo Russell and Jared Vanderbilt and bringing Malik Beasley, and quite frankly, getting LeBron and AD back healthy. The fact that they're in this position is remarkable, and it just speaks to your point, Michael. Don't play with your food. You've got the champs on the ropes. You've got the champs who won 11 regular season road games. All right, they were 11-30 away from the Bay. They're coming to your building. You smacked them up the last time we were there. You smacked up Klay Thompson. Whatever they did to Klay has lingered for days now. And you've got a very limited Andrew Wiggins, who is their most engaged and athletic defender and offensive option. He is. He attacked the rim. He went at Anthony Davis at times when Steph would not. If you lose tonight, you don't need to pack more than an overnight bag for Golden State. Your season's done.
Yeah. Well, yes, their season is over if Golden State loses tonight.
No. If the Lakers lose
tonight. You're talking about the Lakers losing tonight.
If the Lakers lose tonight,
you think they're done.
It's
you think
a
they're
wrap.
Done. I'm not there. I'm just not there, Randy, because you have this guy. I've heard he's pretty good at the basketballs.
The basketballs.
I hear he's pretty good. He may even be, I don't know, a top three player ever. Jason Tatum may disagree. But top three player ever, LeBron James. As long as you have LeBron James on your team, I am not going to write out a team in a game seven. You can't.
I agree. I'm not saying you write it. I'm not
especially with the Warriors team where, you know, Wiggins will probably still be hurt in some way. Draymond Green is more technical foul green now than he is the Draymond Green of old. I can't see it. I get why you're saying that, but I don't see it.
When you look at what the Lakers have been able to do at home this postseason, which is win, that's all they've done. They're 5-0 at home in these playoffs, and they haven't been close. They've been by better than 17.5 points. The last time they won their first six home games of a postseason was 2010. That was the fifth and final title for Kobe Bryant. They also, though, do have, under Kobe Bryant, a series where they were up 3-1 and lost. It was back in 2006. Warriors don't have too much of a track record in that arena. It was back against the Oklahoma City Thunder where they were down 3-1 and they came back and beat them. And then ultimately, you know, Kevin Durant joined the Warriors in one of the if you can't beat them, you know, join them scenarios. Keep an eye on tonight, though, and this could be something that helps Golden State, Steve Kerr and company overcome the loss or at least the limitation of Andrew Wiggins. Keep an eye on Klay Thompson. Game six, Klay is a real thing. In his career, in Game 6, is averaging better than 35 points a game. When the Dubs have called on him in this point of a season and of a series, he has more than answered the bell.
Listen, we'll see what happens tonight. We really will. It's also this, when we're talking about the Warriors, if Wiggins can't go or if he's very limited, right? And we'll learn more about that later, hopefully from Kenter Andrews when she joins us. But if he is, this is where Steve Kerr, being one of the best coaches in the NBA, this is where he makes his money, because he figures out a way to deal with that, and he figures out a way to make up for that loss. You know, do you send Draymond Green more at LeBron James and try to rough him up a little bit because it's been a long series, a long playoffs? Do you maybe put Klay Thompson on him because of the length? I don't know what you do if you are Steve Kerr, but I imagine that is what they are working on right now and have been working on for the last, I don't know, probably 24 hours or so, in case Andrew Wiggins can't go, because that's the game right there. If you can't figure out how to replace that,
mm-hmm.
Cool, Golden State, congratulations. You're losing very symmetrically to how you played your season on the road.
Steph hasn't been the knockdown shooter, you know, hasn't been the dead scoring threat that he's been through most of the regular season, more of a distributor in this series, averaging 8 dimes per game. But if you have a limited Andrew Wiggins, who are you sharing the basketball to? If Klay is cold, like he's been in recent games, and Wiggins is limited, I mean, literally with this rib cartilage issue, can't shoot. It's going to limit his shooting. Who is Steph going to share the ball to? If the Warriors win tonight, I think Steph has to go for at least 35 points, and we'll see if that plays itself out. A reminder, the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as the Lakers host the Warriors. It's presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations and on Sirius XM Channel 80.
Look at this. You hear this? You hear them boo birds in Phoenix? Sheesh. Nuggets lead it by 30 at halftime. Let's go. Jokic back behind him over to Casey. Casey through the window to you. What a pass. Jumper up and in.
Pass by KCP.
Wow. The Denver Nuggets blow out the Phoenix Suns for the second game in a row. The Denver Nuggets go to the Western Conference Finals.
And I need you. Michael Rothstein, Randy Scott with you.
Holding on forever.
Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. That is courtesy of Altitude Radio, not our singing. Instead, no, that was the radio call of the Denver Nuggets elimination, nay, eclipsing of the Phoenix Suns. And honestly, Michael, it was a total eclipse from the start. It was an 18-point first quarter lead for Denver. And then it was a 30-point halftime lead in Phoenix. No team had won on the road to that point of this series, and Denver came out and asserted itself. It was a 25-point win in all, second-largest series-clinching win in franchise history. And again, Altitude Radio had the call. There were boos early in this game in Phoenix for the Suns, who were eliminated in the conference semifinals in decisive fashion for the second straight season. When you look at this now, this season that, you know, where they land Kevin Durant as a in a trade here, Michael Rothstein, how would you best characterize this Suns season?
It was a 2-year project. Always going to be a 2-year project. Because that was how long everybody was kind of under contract for. Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, Durant, Devin Booker, at least, all there for 2 years. You got Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant that was coming back from injury and still injured, you didn't know when you were going to get him when you traded for him. You knew it was going to be a short window. And then the second Chris Paul gets hurt in this series and DeAndre Ayton gets not playing well and then gets hurt himself, it changed, I think, some of the metrics and the dynamics of this. This always felt like 2 years to me, Randy Scott. I know you're going to disagree with me here. I know you are, but I'm not like disappointed in this because it seemed like, hey, this year get as far as you can, see what happens. Next year's your money year. Next year's your year where everybody is theoretically going to be together.
It's, oh man. Okay, Chris Paul just turned 38. Kevin Durant is going to turn 35 by the start of next season. Such as the window was, this was as good as it was going to get because that's how time works. That's how age works. Devin Booker is in his prime. Kevin Durant's prime is behind him. Kevin Durant's not going to even be eligible for certain awards in the NBA because of the time that he now consistently misses during a regular season. When you have him in your lineup, he is transcendent. He just wasn't last night. Had 23 points, wasn't enough. This turned into a two-man show for the Suns, and those two men didn't show. They didn't do what they had to do in order to extend the series. Devin Booker had 12 points last night. He snapped a streak of 10 straight 25-point games, a franchise record. But the way and what they gave up, giving up Cam Johnson, giving up Mikal Bridges, among others, they gave up their rotational depth. And not just draft picks, not just end-of-the-bench guys, 10, 11 guys. No, they gave up rotational depth. And they thought, that's fine, we're going to roll with this four. Because you stack up a healthy four of DeAndre Ayton, Chris Paul, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker. You're like, our four matches up with anybody else's four. But there's age that you have to consider. CP3-8. He was 37 when this trade was made. You know, like you have to bank in and bake in for the fact you're going to miss time with these guys, and Kevin Durant missed it right off the bat. So to me, when this deal, if you're Matt Ishbia and you pull the trigger on this deal getting done, you are thinking at the very least conference finals, let alone NBA finals. And you fell short of both of those bars with a roster that has three future Hall of Famers on it and DeAndre Ayton. That's a failure to me.
Yeah, but okay, that's great. I get where you're going. Congratulations. But if I told you last night or yesterday afternoon at like 3 o'clock, hey, one of the teams that are playing tonight, their starting lineup is going to include Cameron Payne, Landry Shamet, and Jock Landale. Do you think that team would win a playoff game?
No. No,
you're okay. Right, you're right. Well, that is what the Phoenix Suns had. They had Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, and then Jock Landale, Cameron Payne, and Landry Shamet. They played more guys off their bench yesterday than they might have, I think, all postseason because of the fact that they had to eat up those minutes for Chris Paul, for DeAndre Ayton. That changes the dynamic of everything. And, oh yeah, by the way, they were still the 4 seed. The Nuggets were the 1 seed in the Western Conference, probably maybe the best team in the NBA. The question with the Nuggets wasn't that whether or not they were good. It was how can they handle the playoffs. And we've seen so far they can handle the playoffs just fine. So that's why it's not a failure. They played to seed. It's not like the Suns were the 2 seed or the 1 seed, then they got upended, and you're like, oh no. Like, no, this is exactly what the way it played to seed. Now, granted, some of that was due to trade, but also when you lose Ayton, you lose Paul, and you're starting some of those other guys, that's not a recipe against a team that has been as dominant in these playoffs as the Nuggets have been.
It's Michael Rothstein, Randy Scott, and for the guys, Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Kevin Durant was asked about this season, and we talk about whether or not it's a failure, whether or not it's a success, and I've got another point to make on that. But let's hear from the man himself from his post-game press conference.
Trying to piece this together, maybe just speak to the challenge of all of that, and then you get in the playoff series where you don't have as much time as you would like against a team that's really good.
Yeah, if I provide context, it'll just be looked at as an excuse. We just got to be better next year.
That's it. Man understands. He understands why he's there. He understands what the expectations are, and he understands that they fell short. I think my point here, Michael, is let's not apply the results that we know today with the conversation and the expectations at the start of the playoffs. This was a 4 seed, sure, but it was because Kevin Durant missed 8-9 games with that ankle, that freak fluke ankle injury because someone didn't mop the floor correctly. You know what I mean? Remember, he slipped pregame. So he still had the, you know, name tag syndrome, right? Like, he was still so fresh with his team that they weren't quite sure exactly how to play together. You know, I mean, they were learning on the fly in the postseason. And I'm not excusing, to borrow sort of the mindset from Kevin Durant, I'm just explaining why perhaps they fell short, even with all that talent. Where do they go, though, now, Michael, from here? Because as we mentioned, DeAndre Ayton might have been exposed in this series, and Chris Paul's not getting any younger, and now coming off of the groin injury.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of questions around the future of the Suns, Randy. There just are. Because, like you said, the age, Ayton, the Suns, to me, maybe the team that has the second most questions, third most questions among like the kind of playoff contender, championship contender teams in the NBA this offseason. You can probably throw Boston in there with the Jaylen Brown question. And then, you know, depending how you feel about Atlanta, I guess, because they were a playoff team. Who knows what that roster is going to look like? The Suns have a ton of questions of what that's going to look like this offseason. They have work to do. And they have to decide exactly how much they're going to spend and how much they're going to go all in on next year versus maybe trying to do something else.
Yeah, I you know, DeAndre Ayton has a real problem in that Western Conference because Nikola Jokic isn't going anywhere. You know what I mean? I think that's what they were. The road is going to continue to run through on some level, you know, to the Western Conference Finals. It's going to run through Denver. To the NBA Finals, it's going to run through Denver. And Nikola Jokic did whatever he wanted to DeAndre Ayton in this series. It wasn't just that, you know, he's putting up massive point totals. He had 5 triple-doubles, not in this series, but he's 5 in the postseason so far. And to be able to make Jock Landale, all due respect to Jock, who, you know, everybody cashes a check at that level, they're a professional athlete, but to make Landale look like a more viable playoff option than DeAndre Ayton with Ayton's contract, now it's a matter of damaging your trade value if they do decide to try to move on, because apparently some of the body language with Ayton on the sideline during games that he didn't participate in, including last night, was not something that Coach Williams and company loved out in Phoenix. And so it's bad vibes right now for the Suns. You know, the total eclipse of the heart, total eclipse of the Suns, man. We saw it the postseason. He's Michael Rothstein. I'm Randy Scott. We're going to continue our conversation of the best and worst NFL games of the season, continuing our draft of a perfect NFL season if you could just parachute in and see any game every week. So we'll go the best and worst NFL games from weeks 5 through 9. You can join the conversation, see who you agree with. All that after Michael Rothstein has this word from Vivid Seats.
Here at Canty and Carlin, we're fired up for the NFL schedule release. Luckily for you, our friends at Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN, have great deals on great seats with a huge selection of tickets to this year's hottest matchups. Experience every tackle, every pass, and every heart-pounding play of your favorite team live and in person. For the best selection of 2023 tickets, shop now. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Canty and Carlin, the podcast.
I mean, honestly, we should have bumped in with some go-go music. Get some DC flavor in here. Get some Ben's Chili Bowl in the
in our defense.
In the chat.
Some 930 Club.
In our defense, this is Wale. It's from DC.
Oh, that's
big
fair.
Washington fan.
That's fair.
So there we go.
Where okay. were you during the break?
Man, I have interviewed Wale. I have talked to Wale about putting in a bid to buy the then former team name that we don't say anymore. It's Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. If you hear a smile in my voice, it is heaven sent. My name is Randy Scott. He is Mike Rothstein. You can join the conversation. CC call in line 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Adam Schefter reporting it. Doug Brown, you just heard it with his SportsCenter update. The Washington Commanders and a partnership led by Josh Harris have entered into a purchase and sale agreement. Jointly announced today, already have a statement from Dan Snyder and his wife Tiana. The purchase and sale agreement calls for Josh Harris and the partners to acquire the franchise from the Snyder family. The agreement is subject to NFL approval as well as the satisfaction of customary closing conditions. Man, I grew up in the DC area. My mom was a season ticket holder at a time for that franchise, again, under the former name. Where it was that meant something. It was a hard thing to do. It was a hard list to climb. It was a long waiting list. Long. If you were an opposing fan, you had a hard time getting tickets because people wanted to go to these games. It meant something. That team means something still, but it meant more when they were competitive. And frankly, it meant more before Dan Snyder bought the team, before he put a stink on the team, before he put a stain on the team, before he started charging for parking at practice, before he started charging for parking at training camp, before he moved training camp around, yo-yoed it back and forth, made promises to certain areas and communities that went unfulfilled. And obviously the more recent, more egregious, nefarious things that he's been accused of are worse than parking, but this is a long time coming, And this is for a franchise that, you know, before the Carolina Panthers were there, Michael, I mean, this was a regional team, if not a nationwide fan base. You know, they were in Super Bowls. They won three of them. I mean, this franchise means something in the National Football League. And there is, you know, hope today as my phone is blowing up with brothers and sisters and cousins and friends. Like, this is a big, important day. This is a celebratory day for a fan base that is looking forward to this day for a long time.
I grew up in New York. I have a lot of friends in D.C., and I haven't talked to them yet, but I would imagine we're busy a little bit on national radio here. But the conversations I've had with them about the Washington football team, Washington Commanders, for a while now has all been the same thing. I can't wait till there's a new owner. I can't, because there was real consternation of people I knew about rooting for a team that they grew up rooting for, that they still had passion for, because they just felt like they couldn't support what was going on with the current leadership that's there. Now, it also became pretty clear that the NFL started to feel that way too over the last couple of years, and this is a long time coming, and it should be a celebratory day in Washington, because Washington needed this on so many levels. I mean, Randy, like you said, you grew up in that area. I've covered the NFL for over a decade now. This is maybe the start of being able to get a stadium elsewhere, get a stadium closer to the district instead of in the middle of nowhere in Landover, which is hard to get to, and just it's a pain for everybody involved. This starts so many potentially positive things for the Washington football franchise that just were not available to them before because of the ownership involved.
Yeah. This, you know, FedEx Field in what was once Rao John, Maryland, and was always, you know, was always Landover, Maryland. Rao John, the names of the sons of the late owner, Jack Kent Cook, there in D.C., you know, when it was a D.C. team, you know, moving from RFK Stadium in the shadows of the U.S. Capitol, and then moving up to Maryland, and, you know, it's Landover, and it's just consistently one of the worst stadiums in football. Raw sewage leaks, and it's not in Oakland, because the Raiders haven't been there in a few seasons, it happens Landover, Maryland. If
stands collapsed last year, 2 years ago?
Yes.
You know, almost hurt Jalen Hurts.
It's like,
you know, it's funny, you drive by the old RFK. I'm sure you've done this. You drive by the old RFK if you're going, say, from D.C., like if you're staying in Foggy Bottom or in Georgetown area, and you have to drive to Landover, you drive past the old RFK in Anacostia. And, I mean, that stadium is beat up, too. But you're like, well, that's the remnants of a great stadium. And then you get to FedEx Field and you're like, man, what? No. Like, it's one of the worst stadiums in the NFL.
Yeah. I was going to, you know, follow
up. And it's hard to get to. And,
that's the thing. So my uncle used to do this thing where he'd say a bad thing and then say, but at least it's, and then another bad thing. So, so you know, the tickets are expensive, but at least the team's awful. Or the stadium's falling apart, but at least it's hard to get to. Like, that has been this franchise. And you can change the name, which, again, a lot of people feel like was another thing that was long overdue. But you can change the name once, you can change it twice, and you can try to shine it up and distract and have some sort of carnival barkering where you're talking about, like, pay no attention to the cheerleading scandal. Look over here, we've changed the name, and parking's now free. Like, this is conduct beneath NFL ownership. And you know how I know that? Because other NFL owners felt that way. Because other NFL owners spoke up and said something. Jim Irsay among them for the Indianapolis Colts. Like, this is a man who is no longer welcome in his own fraternity. And he was a member of that fraternity since 1999. Okay, came in, Danny Big Bucks, came in, Danny changed the game. You know, Danny Six Flags, the whole thing. And it didn't work. At the beginning, I know because I lived there. At the beginning, he was one of us. He was a fan. He was going to spend the money, make the moves. You know, Jason Taylor laughs about this man. Jason Taylor came in and admittedly said, I didn't have anything left. And this guy was willing to pay me millions of dollars just to be a name on a roster running fantasy football out there.
I mean, I'll give you one more thing on that, because I was covering the Falcons and the Washington Commanders last year, and it was the Sean Taylor game.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that to me was the last straw. That showed you that Daniel Snyder did not care. Or if he did care, it just, you know, the rot in these situations comes from the top down in franchises a lot of times. And what they do with the Sean Taylor statue that wasn't even really a statue, it was like a mannequin in a finish line. You know, like,
yeah.
that was, to me, that was it. That was the last, like, you know, listen, Sean Taylor's family seemed happy that he was being honored as well he should. But I'm sorry. Like that to me, he is a franchise icon, and you know, someone who obviously was tragically killed. And that's what you do when you look at other stadiums and other teams, and they're sometimes the statues don't look like the person, but like they tried.
Yeah,
this was like they put on a helmet. It was like, oh hey, you know, we better like that. Just to me, I remember that I was like, oh man, like if there was any Washington Commanders fans that were like hopeful, like that was it. That had to be the last straw.
I want to be fair to Daniel Snyder. I know when Sean Taylor was murdered, when he was killed. In that home invasion, I remember the emotion. I believe that emotion to be real. I know he flew the team down to the services at Florida International, and again, I know that because I was there. But I do think there have been some massive missteps, both PR and otherwise, moving forward since that killing back in 2007. Again, we're following this Washington Commanders story. The story that the sale is imminent, that Josh Harris has entered into a purchase and sale agreement. Our ESPN Washington Commanders reporter, John Keim, will join us to discuss the very latest. It's Michael Rothstein, Randy Scott, and for the guys, Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Canty and Carlin podcast.
Continuing with the Eurovision love, it's Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. He's Michael Rothstein, loving this. I am Randy Scott, merely tolerating it. We're presented by.
I'm going to convert you yet, Randy Scott.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. That is courtesy of Croatia. Okay, that song is courtesy of Croatia, entered into Eurovision. Let's get a little closer to home. John Keim joining us. He's our ESPN Washington Commanders reporter, joining us on the CC call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN is the phone number. The purchase and sale agreement has been entered into here, John, between the Commanders and a partnership led by Josh Harris. What does this mean with regard to the actual transfer of power, maybe a timeline of that, right, of the transfer of power from the Snyder family now selling the Washington Commanders to this Josh Harris-led group?
Sure, and obviously this is a significant step in this process, but it still has to get NFL approval, and then the owners obviously will vote on it. Well, the earliest they can vote on it would be, and it's the owners meet May 22nd, 23rd in Minnesota. So that's the earliest it could be voted on and approved, and there's certainly a chance it could be done then. The league has to vet all the limited partners, and that's always something that can take a little bit of time. If you look at like some of the past sales, for example, Denver last year, they agreed to the deal with the Walton family in like early June, and it wasn't until late July that the league said, okay, they're going to recommend the owners vote approval for it, and they voted in early August. This has been an unusual process from the start. So the Harris group had submitted their offer to the NFL a couple weeks ago. And so it seems like some of the vetting process has been ongoing along with trying to reach into this agreement that they've come to with the Snyder. So that may speed up the process to get it done in late May. But it's, you know, if they don't, then it'll obviously spill into the summer.
Hey, John. So, I mean, considering this particular situation, right, like other ownership situations have been what they've been, but this one's a little bit different because of all the controversy around Dan Snyder. Where are we at? Are we like the one-inch line at this point? Like this is, it feels like there's no way the NFL would do this and then have not knowing that it was going to get done, right?
Right, and you know, so we're pretty close to the end here, and you know, but the NFL, again, the NFL still has to prove it. And are there some things that they may be concerned about, whether it's from some legal issues or whatever involving Dan Snyder or anything else? And again, the vetting process, when you have as many limited partners as they do, and I have to go back and add them up because I tweeted out the release or the statement that includes all of them, and there's at least a dozen. that's what takes time. It's and as I was talking to someone the other day who's involved in the Harris Group, like, it's not like just because a guy might be worth $6 billion doesn't mean he has $2 billion in cash sitting at home. You know, you do have to do some maneuvering with things. So all that that took some time. But I think the vetting process will be something they have to go through, and making sure the legal issues are sounded off on, and then we would get to a vote.
We're talking with John Keim, our ESPN Washington Commanders reporter, and the term legal issues I think is an appropriate one when you talk about the soon-to-be outgoing ownership group there with the Washington Commanders. When you look back at your time covering this team, and again, Dan Snyder has had control of this team, ownership of this team since 1999, when you look through the course of his stewardship of this franchise, what are some highlights, lowlights? Like, what memories are you going to carry forward with you here from this Dan Snyder era of ownership?
Memories are scars.
That's a great point.
You know, I think it's just how the franchise has fallen. That's what to me stands out. Like, this was a premier franchise when he took over. And it was his ability to bring in big names, whether it was the Deion Sanders or Bruce Smith or Joe Gibbs as a coach, Mike Shanahan, Marty Schottenheimer. So he could get those big names, but he could never really put together a proper organization. And so I think that always, and you, when you talk to people for, you know, I've covered his entire reign. So when you talk to people throughout his time here, and even people here now, they always felt like his number one flaw was not surrounding himself with better people at the top consistently. And so that was, to me, that's a hallmark of it. But then you look at where that franchise was when he took over in 99, you're less than a decade removed from three Super Bowl wins, and or the third of three Super Bowl wins, right? And then you look to where they're at now, and this is, they had to change the name, you know, all these off-field issues. This was a fan base that was extremely proud of the product that they rooted for. Now it's one where it's like a lot of people just kind of gave up on them because they couldn't take, whether it was the losing or the off-field stuff or both. And so with, you know, that's what to me was always going to stand out. It's just where it went. I mean, his legacy is going to be that under his leadership, the franchise became less popular with the fan base and they had to change the name. And so, like, I think what they've needed is a change, and the fan base needs a change. I think the NFL needed a change here, and that's what they're going to get.
All right. So, John, if you look now moving forward at, I guess, in maybe 25, 30 seconds or less, John, what a change in ownership would mean for this franchise, considering where it once was, how high could the bounce back be for this franchise?
Well, I think it's a distressed property, so to speak, and I think the bounce back could be pretty high because they're going to get a new stadium at some point off of this.
Okay.
I think the fan base is ready to jump back in, and so I think the bounce back is pretty high, and it's a professional group. This group has run two other pro sports teams. I think they needed that experience as well.
Yep.
So, you know, I think they're in a much better spot.
Appreciate you, John. Much more on this. It's Michael Rothstein, Randy Scott. He's John Keim, our ESPN Washington Commanders reporter, following a historic day for the franchise on Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Canty and Carlin podcast. You can listen to the show live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen on the ESPN app. Canty and Carlin, the podcast.